Welcome to Christ Today. We give God, God of the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thanks for all that He has given us, including life and our ability to seek and understand Him and the things around us. We give Him praise and worship, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our lives these days are so full of information, so full of events, and we struggle to understand what they mean in an accurate fashion. Oh, what a challenge it is, especially after we learn more information. And I think back 50 or 60 years ago when we learned in school the structure of the atom. But that has completely changed between then and now. 50 years ago, women who wore pants could have been viewed as modern by society, or by some churches, they would have been viewed as sinners. 50 years ago, or so, cigarette smoking was just changing from being widely acceptable to a health concern. Things change, and today we struggle to see how the current events are going to really impact our life. We recognize that the changing information that we understand or have been told is given on all different levels, from an individual to an organization and even to our government. For instance, the United States went to war in the last century a number of times, and the reasons were given, but it turned out the reasons were pretty much not true. There was another reason behind it. So whether the final outcome of the wars were good or not, you know, for better or worse, it's still an open question, but it was probably a good thing. And as patriots, we still do support the United States. But today, there are questions. There are lots of questions. There are historical questions, too. And when we look back at those ancient events, we could say, who cares? And maybe today, the young people are looking back and saying, who cares? What difference does it make? But it all makes some difference, mostly small differences, but sometimes it is significant because laws and social customs and normal practices of trade, buying and selling, they do change and they do make a difference. They are carried on from decade to decade and century to century. Slowly, we are being molded into a different pattern of understanding. And we are changing along with that. So, mostly, we don't care. But there's some things we do care about. What do people care about today? Well, their immediate relationships. They care about if their hunger is being satisfied. They care about if their sense of fun is being satisfied. And, oh yes, let's not forget, there are plenty of people who care about their relationship with God, because God is certain and unchanging. God was there from the beginning, and He will be there at the end of our life. And when that transition occurs, oh, for most people in 50 or 100 years, well, we do want that relationship with God so that we can step into our eternal life in heaven. That's what we want. if we don't make the commitment, well, it's life in hell. But it looks like God has chosen us. Now we have a responsibility to choose God through Jesus Christ. And this is something that is pretty evident once you understand it. We can choose God's free gift of forgiveness, which leads to heaven, and then we show the proof of our choice by living according to His will. Yes. Well, perhaps more and more people are seeing this, but there's plenty of people who just look at what their very current needs are and what has happened in the past, short history. I know I look at history, probably because I'm a history person. I like to look at history and understand things. But I also have quite an old family line. My grandparents were all born in the 1800s, and that has helped me to recognize the perspectives that, and values that have changed in society. It's more evident when you look over time. Well, I don't know about you, but I like to look. Maybe you like to look too. And if these are the kind of things that suit your interest, you can remember biblical history, because the Bible has to do with a whole lot of things that are current. It's just that we have to apply what we understand into the things that we are trying to understand. Well, we want to understand Jesus, we want to understand God, and we can do that by speaking to a Christian often enough, or speaking to a Bible-believing pastor, or better yet, we can learn it on our own by reading God's Word, the Bible. Probably by reading the New Testament. The New Testament, you could read that a couple of times, it's kind of not that long. And I like the old King James Version, but the new King James is good too. Either way you do it, with any book, any Bible version, go ahead and read it and get to know Jesus. Sure, it takes a little time, it takes a little effort, but what relationship did you ever have that did not take time and effort? Our relationship with God is worth the time and the effort. Not only so that we can have a relationship with our Creator, which is the most, it's very important, but we also gain eternal life in heaven. Pretty good, huh? Well, this is something you have to choose on your own. This is something that is for you to do. You bear the responsibility, each one of us does, to choose Christ. Unless we are children under the age of accountability, that is different. But pretty much for people listening, it will be each of our choice, each of our responsibility to choose wisely and then show that choice in how you live. Well, this is a good subject for the radio broadcast of Christ Today, because it's talking about Christ. I often do talk about the preparedness issue, because to me, that is a part of living. It is about the life that we live, and it's about the life to come, and it's about people sharing love and compassion with other people. And that's why I talk about preparedness on Christ Today, because the short reason is to say love. I care what happens to people. And this is such a good insurance policy to have those extra things that you might need, that I certainly do suggest it. I've seen difficulties in life. You probably have too. So I think we've all seen some difficulties, and sometimes they are right on our doorstep. They just might be now. I don't know. But they sure might be right there on the doorstep. There's physical and economic concerns, and all of it, in a sense, is spiritual, because we are in a spiritual battle. And I don't want you to suffer, and I do also want you to be able to show the love of Christ to other people. And a part of that is being prepared, the way I see it. So how do we do this? Each of us sees it differently, and each of us is able to do things differently, and we act according to our understanding. In hard times, we probably want to help provide for other people. It's my opinion that we like to. We like to help other people. Maybe not provide for them, but certainly to help them. If you need more information, there's a really big book that you can read to give you some understanding. Read it. It's called the Bible. And act faithfully according to your God-given understanding. Yep. I know things are always different for each person, and there is an allowance there for individuality as it's expressed. And it makes me think about my grandfather's brother. He came from a rather large family, but one of his siblings was a godly man, and he preached, and he was a man who gave so many of his things away to the people less fortunate than him. So you could say that he was a poor person because he gave all his things away, but he certainly had a godly side to him. But the point here is he was always giving to people less fortunate than himself. And I say this story to illustrate that we do what we see as right. And each person can see it differently. The Bible has stories in it of the rich people and the poor people. And each fulfills a different role. But we can each love God through Jesus Christ according to what we understand. We can be faithful. And that is what we want to do, is be faithful. And our gifts can often cause blessing. And sometimes they are bad choices. When we give incorrectly, we seek God's will as best as we can understand it. I remember once there was a man who was giving care to, let's call them discarded people because they were just down and out people. But he was helping them. He helped them a lot. And at the time, I had received some inheritance, and I gave the man $3,000. And a year and a half later, I learned that he had bought firearms, probably with that money, but I don't know that for sure, and that at that point he was in trouble with the law. And it just goes to show, you have to be careful with the riches, that is the money that God entrusts you with. I don't know if there was a real obvious answer to what happened. I never did pursue it, but it looked a certain way on the surface, that's for sure. So that's just a story for your consideration. If I had that $3,000 today, I would put it to use towards this radio broadcast. Life is interesting. Oh, we sure do learn lessons. I remember I used to tell my children, a smart man learns from his mistakes, and a wise man learns from the mistakes of others. I still like that saying, so I tell you that story because I like it. Life's lessons. Oh, they can be different for each person. And I know when I was young, I heard a saying that was early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. I got to thinking, do you think that is a beginning of that prosperity doctrine? Because if that's your focus, yeah, who knows, it might be one of the roots of it. But, you know, we face situations and decisions, and I think there's a few people who would remember the 2 Timothy quote, 3:12, all that live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. I wonder which one you'd like to follow. Oh, well, the gospel has a whole bunch of different parts, and that's one of the problems with how we are told things, because it's a whole book. There is a whole lot to the gospel, but it does include hope. And at the end of that 2 Timothy chapter, the end of the book, it talks about he wishes grace to Timothy. And I just happen to think that is a part of the good news too. So as we go through our effort, our desire to understand the Bible, prayer is good. And of course, reading the Bible is good. Showing God's love to people is good, the love of Christ. Yes, that's good. We struggle and seek to understand as we go along this journey of life. Each one, just for us, we have a path, and it is well suited to us. I kind of laugh at my path because I've always been a quiet man wanting to stay in the background and not draw attention to myself. And here I am on the radio. Oh, I think it's so funny. Oh, so I think it's funny. And here I am today to speak about things of God through Jesus Christ on Christ Today. And in these days, I see, because of my past interests and training, that I see our nation is at a very precarious time in history. The way I look at it, anything could happen, just anything. From a turn to difficulty to a turn to good. Things could turn good, wonderful. But things could turn so difficult, it is just shocking, and there are indicators all around for it. So, not to mention, besides indicators, there are spiritual reasons for it to be with great difficulty. There are historical reasons for it also. So I think of expressing my concern for what just might happen. And so I like to say, think, plan, and do. Yes, do something for that just-in-case situation. Because like I said, we are at a point where I think anything could happen. What are the basic needs that we have? Well, everybody has to figure that out for themselves. And it is individual choices. So I urge everyone to think about it. I know that it doesn't matter what the emergency people think, what FEMA or the Office of Emergency Services say. It is whatever you understand, whatever you want to prepare for, that's the only thing that's going to get done. You have to decide, examine it, decide how to respond, and have a plan of what you would like to do. Events simply could happen. We are right on the edge, not to mention natural disaster events. I know that there's been lots of earthquakes all throughout the world. There was an earthquake in Tibet. There was a tsunami in Japan and one in Indonesia. You probably remember those. So there was mudslides all over the earth, too. In South America, in Los Angeles County, there was raging floods in Texas, in South Africa, and China. Oh, things have been all over. There have been hurricanes, the one in the Philippines recently. I hope you're not one of those who would say, oh, well, it didn't affect me. It didn't happen here, so everything's okay. Well, I sure would say, I would like to remind you that more and more events are happening in the world, in many places of the world, and it just might be our turn one day. There's now 37 volcanoes that are active. 37 volcanoes active here on the Earth. We just haven't had one here yet. Not a big one for a long time. So, I think it's a good time to get food and supplies before there is an event, while you can, while there's not any special demand. Things are available. So think about your food list, think about your supplies, figure out what it is you would like to see and have. Because a lot of things are your choice, except for one, I think one thing that is not a choice, well, that's my opinion, is water. Water is so essential, and it's so difficult to get if we don't have it delivered into our homes. So food is important too. Food, water, anything can happen with water, though. We could have all sorts of things, pipes break or a bacteria in the water lines. There's just lots of things that could happen. So, yep, water, food. The way I see food, I urge everyone or anyone to have a grain grinder and grain. Because whole grains are living food. It's not like canned food. Whole grains are alive and you can plant them. Something such as wheat or spelt or some other whole grains. You get to choose which ones you like. And then have things like sugar, oil, and salt. And your hand grinder. Various flavorings and yeasts. And a stove, like a propane stove, with plenty of extra propane and a big iron pot with a lid. Well, I'm going to cover those food things more. We will talk about vegetables and fruits a little bit. But there's just some things you will want to have, like a medical kit. A medical kit is important, and that is includes flashlights and batteries, spare batteries. Lots of batteries. Oh, there will be people who won't have enough batteries, and maybe not even you. But you just think about it. Think, plan, and do. So if you're not able to take the last step of this, which is to do, you are as prepared or as unprepared as you are right now. You have to do something to have results. And I suggest you really look into that and make sure that you're satisfied with your efforts. I know that FEMA has said that we should all have 4 days of food and water on hand. And the food is not so hard to have 4 days of food, even if it's things we're not so fond of. But the water, well, we take water for granted so often. And so I would ask you, 4 days of food and water, a gallon each a day, that's almost 2 5-gallon containers of water for two people, 1 5-gallon container each. Not too many people have that, and it's heavy, but sure, I think it's a really, really good idea to have water. Most people won't have it, so you will certainly find people who you can give it to if you find you have too much. How long does anything last? That is one that nobody knows. Nobody knows. I think back to Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, and I remember that it took FEMA almost 2 months to provide meaningful assistance to those people. I just can hardly believe it. Almost 2 months. And yes, there were people who helped. There were organizations that helped. They brought supplies to people. And it was a good amount of help, or small by some standards. But my point is that if you want something, you really have to take care of your own needs. If you have no water and no food, you really are in a desperate position. And just because somebody is providing these things for you, it doesn't mean it's what you're accustomed to. It doesn't mean it's what you want. So if you get what your normal food is, what your normal wants are, you have to take an effort and store these things that you will want. You don't know if there'll be gasoline for your car in a big emergency. Nobody knows that answer. Do you realize that it's reasonable to get water now? While it's available, instead of having to get in your car and transport a 5-gallon or 2 5-gallon containers. Yes, please, get some now. This is the time to do it. And it does cost you something. Everything costs you something. even to not have it is costly. But the point is you can get things now. Yeah, it costs you. And choices are not necessarily easy because you're getting it before you need it. But it's better than getting it too late. And if you buy the things now, well, that will be a good thing to have on hand. You can always think of more things. But ultimately, you're the person who is responsible for you. You and your family. Not the government, not the church, not your family, not your parents, not your employer. You are the person who's responsible for you and yours. So think about it. Get a plan together. You don't want to wait until the last minute when the grocery stores, they might still be open, but they might not, because if they don't have electricity, well, they can't let anyone in. They wouldn't have safe lighting. Somebody might trip, might fall, and that would be a problem. And without electricity, they can't use their cash registers. And for a corporation, that's the only way they make transactions. So, get stuff now. Oh boy. There have always been certain groups of people who have had an orientation towards preparedness. They were prepared in case there was a famine, in case there was a war, in case there was some cataclysm or social, societal disruption. Yeah, there were individuals. They were often called preppers, and that's the term that is quite current. And there were certain religious groups, some of whom faced persecution for one reason or another, even death. And these groups were generally the people who would take steps of preparedness. Now, there is one last group who are generally not thought of as kooks or really strange people, but instead they're thought of as rational people, and they are preparing. Who is that? That's our federal government. Yeah, you know, they have some very long-term underground facilities with years and years of food and supplies. They have entertainment centers and filtered air to breathe. Oh, they have a lot of supplies and a lot of amenities for the people in those shelters. Yeah, so they're preparing too. But they say the citizens can be prohibited by law from, quote, unquote, hoarding food or resources. So I think that's kind of funny, but, you know, our government is a government. And it has its own thinking and orientations. So, I mean, why? Why did they decide to buy over 1 billion bullets? 1 billion! I forgot what the exact number was, but it was over 1 billion. And remember, what is a billion? It is 1,000 millions. 1,000 millions! That's a lot of bullets. I think that's enough to fight several Gulf Wars. Well, I don't know what all this means. There's a lot to wonder about. And so, I go back to my point. You should get some food just in case. And there's nothing wrong with having some water either, because we are in a spiritual battle. This is the main part of it. It's a spiritual battle. That's what we have to remember. The spiritual battle is taking place in an economic battlefield, a political battlefield, and a cultural battlefield. But really, it's a spiritual war. And we have an enemy. Enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion who walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Yeah, he wants you. He wants me. And so what do we do? What do we actually do? That's really the question. Are we prepared to suffer in silence and say, oh, whatever the Lord brings on will be fine? If the Lord brings persecution, that's fine. If he brings death to me, well, you know what? It really is fine, because that is the ultimate will of God will be done with his believers. But I think there's some things we can just ease our way out of. Maybe there's circumstantial. And somehow, if there's a circumstance that we can moderate or show the love of Christ to other people, yeah, I think that's really a better alternative than to suffer or to go hungry. So, yeah, I always am concerned when I quote scripture, because you have to rightly divide the Word of God, and there's so many different things in the Word. We can pick out a little here and a little bit there, and we have to be careful when we do that. It's better to pick out a larger theme, but it's just too convenient to remember some scriptures and say them. Anyway, I don't need to get onto this tract of thinking too much. Let's go back to the basics. Oh, and the basics of Christianity, what are they? Jesus loves you. I think that's the most basic part of Christianity. Jesus loves you, and he wants each of us to look at what his will is so that we are able to do it. Now let's go back to preparedness. Oh, if you don't mind. Food is not your most important item. The most important item is your spiritual relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is absolutely your most important preparation. And how do you demonstrate this relationship? By how you live each day. So, after that, after the spiritual relationship with God, your physical needs have to be air. That's the top of the list, but most people aren't going to have a serious problem with that. And I would say that if you're concerned, have tape on hand to tape your doors and your vents shut in case there gets to be a dust storm with some pretty seriously bad stuff in it. And for breathing, a moist cloth works real good for the air you breathe. And if you want, you could add some eye goggles. Those are kind of the big things for the area of air. Smoke, dust, and smell, they could become a problem, but that's kind of how it goes. Water is going to be the number one item that is needed daily by all people. And if you have pets, your pets will need water too. If our municipal water system were to fail, and it might due to an earthquake breaking the water mains, or maybe by an electrical failure so that they're unable to pump the water up out of the ground, there's some different things that could happen with our water delivery system which would make us unable to use the water. But as a backup plan, think about where you would have to carry the water from. Probably a river, maybe another location, and you would want to be able to treat it for pathogens. Our body is not used to having any impurities in the water, and we could easily acquire an intestinal illness. And that means diarrhea. And a lot of people get weak, and a lot of people die from diarrhea. So that's one of those things. You want to have plenty of anti-diarrheal on hand. You don't want to have your body weak, and you don't want the mess that it makes either. So that's another thing you'll need water for if you have to clean up. So have lots and lots of diarrheal, anti-diarrheal medicine on hand. You can use it or trade it. Water is important. Water. Don't neglect water. It's important. And then there's food. Sure, food is important too. Everybody gets hungry, and everybody needs food. I wish I could tell you how much food to have on hand, but really, it's It's a decision that you have to examine. FEMA recommends 4 days of food and water. Yeah, that doesn't seem like much when you consider the things that have happened to people recently in society. There could be lots of reasons we would need food and water. It could be terrorist activity. And if we had that, it would probably shut everything down for 2 weeks if it was a significant issue. And there could be a natural disaster. You know, like Hurricane Katrina was a natural disaster. It could have been 7 weeks for some people that they needed to prepare for. And then again, it might have taken another 7 weeks just to get normal schedules, supplies back into the stores. So what, you're talking about 3 months there? Well, who knows? It can be different things, and we don't know the answer. There could also be a trucker's strike, or there could be no diesel, or there could be a crop failure, or there could be a bug infestation or virus infestation of various crops. You know, if we had the rice crop or the wheat crop or the potato crop affected, that would be devastating. And what if there was a major earthquake or a major volcano? Volcano, yes. Volcanoes, if they spew a lot of ash into the sky, it makes it so that the sunlight does not reach the earth. And if the sunlight does not reach the earth, then the summers get cold and the winter gets really cold. I did talk about Yellowstone a little while back, in February 11th, I talked about the Yellowstone super caldera volcano, and I was remembering what the Smithsonian Channel said, that if the Yellowstone volcano went off, the United States could, I say could, go for up to 6 years before it had another good food crop. 6 years before it had another food crop? Good food crop? Oh, boy. 6 years is a long time to go without food. So, I wish I knew the answer. But it reminds me of Joseph's dream, where he was in Egypt and he saw the 7 good years and the 7 lean years. It's just a question. I know there's a religious group, mostly here in the United States, that in their early days, they started off where they told every member to have 7 years of food on hand. And then a good while ago, they said, no, you only need 1 year of food. So that's what every good church member does. They have 1 year of food on hand. And of course, not everyone in the church body has 1 year of food, because like we all, they don't do what they're told. But there are other church organizations also that have requirements or strong suggestions that their church members also have 1 year of food. It's not that unusual for various groups to say 1 year of food. So maybe we should have some kind of food on hand also. A year's worth? Sure, why not? You get to figure that question out. Everyone needs to answer that question for themselves. And I've looked into it, so I talk about it. We all need food to live on. And the concept of storing food can be called food insurance. So I'm going to talk about 3 different food options here. One is the real simple prepackaged foods. Prepackaged meals. They are often freeze-dried. They are very good tasting. Oh, they work so well. But they are also very expensive, and few people will be able to take that as an option. Probably number 2 is the most common choice that people will make, and it is the least expensive option, which is to buy bulk food that is delivered in 5-gallon plastic pails. You might need 10, you might need 15 5-gallon pails for a 1-year food supply for one person. They're all different. They all have different components, different ingredients in their food buckets. So it is something that takes a very close looking at. It's a huge difference for if the food is cooked, if it's not cooked. I mean, if you have to cook it, or if it comes so that you just add water. There's lots of options and lots of differences in price. But it's a good option if it's just a real simple answer that you want to this problem of having 1 year supply of food. Nominal 1 year. Maybe it's more, maybe it's less. And then I have a choice myself, which is a little different. My choice is to have a lot of food rather than a great quality of food. I choose quantity. And I also choose to have a whole grain. And those whole grains are living. And from what I can tell, that means they have more nutritional food value in them. One other thing that these whole grains can do is you can sprout them, and you can get the equivalent of a fresh green when you sprout wheat or some other grain, but wheat is just the most common. Any of these three options will work, but I think it just is something for you to look at what suits you. The quantity of food is always a question, because it seems like we always eat more food than we think. And for one reason or another, the food gets wasted or fed to the chickens or whatever it is. So there's most of the time a 1 year supply of food will not last 1 year. So another point about this is what FEMA says. FEMA says that if wheat is your main source of food, one person will need 270 pounds of wheat in 1 year. Now, that sounds like a lot, 270 pounds for one person, and it is a lot, but that's only about 3/4 of a pound per day. That's not really a lot. So you have to consider all these things, and from my estimates, I have noticed that an active person or a young person will need 400 to 500 pounds of wheat in 1 year. That's a whole lot different from 270 pounds. 400 to 500 pounds of wheat in 1 year, if that is their primary food. So while we're on the subject of wheat, let me suggest another grain. It is the parent of wheat. It is called spelt. It's an ancient grain. And I think spelt is a better choice than wheat, but it does cost twice as much. So if wheat costs $60 for 100 pounds, spelt would cost $120 for 100 pounds. Another thing you can do if you're going to get one of these wheat type of grains is to add 10% or so of rye into it. And that makes a better digestible protein, more protein in what you're cooking. I also recommend having other grains on hand, both for taste and for protein. To vary the diet is an important thing when you are limiting your food intake to one item or another. You need to have a little variety in there just to keep yourself interested in eating food. So, also get 100 pounds of beans or legumes and 25 pounds each of barley, white rice, and a non-GMO corn. Now, for some people, they will want a lot more rice than this because some people eat rice as their staple food instead of wheat. Well, that's a determination you will have to make. So, beyond the grains, let's move into another area a little bit, and that is the other things that you will also want. You will want sugar or honey. And 75 to 175 pounds of sugar or of honey is adequate because we are used to having a high sugar diet. We will miss it if we don't have it. So this is a matter of taste. You have to figure that out. Oil, vegetable oil, is a requirement for your digestion. So you could have 2 gallons if you want, but I say have a little more because we're used to it. I say 5 gallons of vegetable oil, and if you can, I say olive oil. I think that is the preferred oil. And then you will want 10 to 25 pounds of iodized salt. Everybody needs the iodine. And then, for certain foods, you will want to have some powdered milk on hand. Non-fat powdered milk. If it has fat, it doesn't last nearly as long. So you will want between 10 and 50 pounds of powdered milk, depending on what you're trying to duplicate. And then for a variety, you will want to have some dehydrated vegetables and fruits. They come in number 10 metal cans. That's something which is just so good to have, something like dried peas. Oh, there's all kind of vegetables. Again, they come in dehydrated in number 10 cans, and those are just such a good idea. They add variety to the plainest of grains, if that's what you are going to be having. Some other ideas are vitamins, various spices, pepper, vanilla, powdered chocolate, and chocolate chips, Kool-Aid, yeast, baking soda, white vinegar and apple cider vinegar, peanut butter, maybe even a lot of peanut butter, depends on what you're used to. Powdered cheese, oh, that's a good one, powdered cheese. Powdered garlic and powdered onion. Get tomato sauce too, we're used to that. But I do recommend a glass jar because of its acidity. Plastic wrap is one of those normal use items, and so is aluminum foil. It's very handy. And then don't forget tea and coffee in airtight containers. And don't forget plenty of dish soap. When you sprout your grains like wheat, you're going to want to have some cafeteria type of trays, 4 to 8 of them. And on those trays, you will put soil and plant that wheat and allow it to sprout. So that's another reason to have more wheat, because you're going to have sprouted wheat grass. So, all right, to this list, there's a couple of other items to add. You would add a hand-operated wheatgrass juicer and a hand-operated wheat grinder. So that kind of takes care of your food for 2 people for 1 year, just roughly. I would add to this a spare wheat grinder, and a spare wheatgrass juicer. As if one of these things broke, well, it wouldn't be very fun to be depending on a wheat grinder and then not have it. So get a spare. Those are the kind of things that I'm thinking of. And then you will want a few items for cooking, for eating, metal cooking utensils, metal eating utensils, some plates, some bowls, and two large cast iron pots with lids. You can use cast iron because it supplies the iron that your body needs. And all these things should fit into 4 55-gallon drums. This food supply and item supply I would consider just about adequate. Of course, everybody has different ideas for what they want to see, and you will have to make your own determinations about it. Some people will want what they call a grab-and-go bag, and that should have a little bit of food in it, maybe Pilot type of biscuits or crackers, peanut butter, maybe nuts and instant potatoes or canned beef stew. A bowl, utensils, and a cup. Plenty of water. Oh, the water is always important. And flavoring like Tang, Kool-Aid, or instant coffee. Then a few things which are just normal to have with you. An emergency space blanket. Some first aid. A Swiss Army knife. A flashlight. Compass. And hygiene items for your grab-and-go bag. So those are the kind of things for the area of food that you can just consider. For long-term water, I would say get several 55-gallon plastic drums, several of them. It's your choice. How many? One, two, three, maybe more. Maybe a few 5-gallon containers in case you have to go someplace to collect your water. Like the river, wherever that is, or the creek. They're just options here, and you have to think about it. You have to see what makes sense to you. But you will need bottles to put the water in to transport them somehow. Even if the water truck comes by the street, you will still need to get from the water truck into your home, and you will need some water containers. The other thing about water is it would only be a good thing to have some kind of a water filter, a large water filter. I know there's a lot of people who like the so-called Big Berkey water filter. It's a good one. You just have to investigate this and see what suits you. Well, these are my thoughts of food and water, and you get to think about what suits your own needs. But I hope to present these ideas and these thoughts and these so that you're able to discern what it is that you want. Hopefully, this is going to motivate thought on your part. You will have to seek out your own answers. But remember, if you do nothing, you will just be unprepared like you are today. It's the same amount of preparation in case a disaster strikes. It's not like there really is an answer. There's lots of answers. But we want to have some items of preparation for that just-in-case situation. I do think staying in your home is always the best idea. That's where your supplies are. That's where your neighbors are and your support system. You're familiar with it. Make every effort to stay in your home in the event of an emergency or disaster. I like the list of food items which I gave and how I enumerated it, so to speak. So if you want a copy of what I said, send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope Tell me what you want, and I will put the list of the food items in. There's going to be things that you will want to have. It might be your medicine. It might be pictures. It might be some other kind of memories or whatever it is. But you have to figure out what it is that you are trying to protect and what you want to go where. So, like I said, give it some thought. And then go ahead with life. You don't need to live in this area of preparedness. Just give it that consideration, get the questions answered, and then go on with life. Life is good. You're supposed to be living life. That's what we want to do. Have the joy of life in us, the joy of Jesus Christ. Now, if you wanted a copy of this food list, send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, and I'll send one to you. My mailing address is John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Or you can contact me by email at prepareforgod@usa.com. All lowercase, no spaces. So you can hear these broadcasts again on christtoday.org. So have a listen to the other ones. And remember that there is a lot of uncertainty in our lives today and in the world today. We are in a spiritual battle, and there is financial uncertainty with various people, the regular people like you and me, and the big money people too. A lot of people are sensing this instability. And so, if the system becomes really unstable, anything could happen. Anything. A war. The monetary system could collapse. There could be natural disasters. So, have some preparations and remember that our eternal relationship with God through Jesus Christ is always the most important thing. Yes, prepare, but consider everything. So, God bless you, and thank you for listening.